When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, Chair Shot NFL. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can follow the show at Chair Shot NFL, BTW. Joining me, as always, this year is none other than the IWC War Chief. Tumultuous waters these days to be the IWC War Chief. But nonetheless, Andrew Belaz is here. You can follow him at IWC War Chief. Andrew, we made it. It is the Super Bowl 58, Chair Shot NFL edition.
That's true. Yeah. At least somebody made it through this last week, because like you said, IWC aspects are, this week's been rough.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Boy.
At least the Super Bowl's easier to digest than whatever the fuck is going on in wrestling land.
Well, if you listen to this show, you knew what was coming. Congratulations. Let's just start off right away by bringing the bell three times for Andrew Belaz, who on week zero, Chair Shot NFL preview to this very season, we made our Super Bowl picks. And I should have went and grabbed the audio, but I didn't. You sound like you, though. So tell everybody who you picked.
I do. I'm glad I don't sound like somebody else. So that would be, wow. Depends on how drunk I was, man, and if I was doing a voice, I suppose.
I'm getting really deep today.
You are. You are going to be fucking Barry White soon.
That's what she said.
It's going to be nice. But anyway, so yeah, Chiefs and Niners, is that's who I picked week zero. And I got a ride with what I said week zero too, because I picked the Chiefs to go over. So
all right, well, we'll keep the pick of your over under in suspense. I want to be honest with you guys, Ray Cash not here this week, unfortunately, but we do have his pick.
Oh, that's good.
So we'll get to that when we get into that segment. We got a couple other things we want to hit for you guys today, because we don't think that our conversation about this game is going to be that long. We know these teams. We're going to get into our thoughts on how this game is going to break down. But we have a couple other things we want to hit before we take some time off here. Because I imagine maybe a draft preview show, Andrew, or a post-draft review thing, maybe a off-season kind of free agency special in the summer. But otherwise, other than that, maybe other than a couple of specials, we won't be back till Chair Shot NFL week zero for next season.
You're not going to want to do like a UFL preview or like any kind of like special during that? What's Dwayne going to say? How dare you disrespect Dwayne?
Oh yeah, I'm only one these days. By the way, my hashtag is we want truth, our truth.
Do you want the awesome truth, though? That's the real question.
I think they're going to win the tag team titles at Mania. I hope so. But anyway, that's who's been my most entertaining MVP since the.
I just want to cut
out
that T-shirt money, though. That was a lot of T-shirt money.
Oh, bro, that's just flying all over the place.
I mean, that was a good sell, but just the wad that he pulled out for the t-shirt money, I'm like, shit, you did all that in 15 minutes? Fuck, I need to get him to fucking sell shit for me.
If we're all charging like $200 a t-shirt.
People paid for it. Who gives
a
shit?
Right? It's what's it worth? What you can get for it. Speaking of what things are worth, what are the 8 new NFL head coaches going to mean to their teams next year? We're going to get into that. In addition, the final thing we're going to do is, who are the top 10 quarterbacks we would want next season? I'm interested to see. I'm going to ask you the question now. I broke this down as a combination of, and just for next season, of talent plus team plus health.
I was similar.
Okay.
I went talent plus team plus environment.
Okay. I like that. Because you could have went just the talent route and said outside of their team and if they're completely healthy, don't even factor that in. That's a different conversation, but I like that we're on the same page here. So that's going to work out great. All right, folks, before we take our first commercial break, I just want to remind you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. Makes a great gift as well. Get it in soft style. It's the gift that keeps on giving every time you put it on. It gives you a hug. This is Chairshot NFL right here on Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Always use your head. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I'm looking down the list. Welcome back, Chairshot NFL. I'm looking down the list of my soundboard here. And there's a few things after recent events that I need to take off of here so I don't accidentally play. Anyway, I thought you'd find that funny. I was looking at it. I'm like, Andrew will definitely find this funny.
That's a good one. Yes.
I am in honesty. Let's talk about as fans of the actual product of the NFL, which we are. And I would have to think you, much like me, like your entire life. Do you remember when you started watching NFL every Sunday and like when you sat down, you actually watched the game? Because I do. While you think about it, Brett Favre took over for Don Majkowski when he got hurt. He finished the game against the Bengals and he brought the Packers back with a game-winning touchdown, right? I didn't even watch that whole game. I just watched the end because my dad said Brett Favre is in, right? Watch this guy play. Otherwise, I would start to watch the game. I'd get anxious. I'd go outside and play when it was nice out, or I'd go do something else. Yeah. You know, I was a kid. I was really young. So I was maybe like 11 years old when I first started actually watching. But after that game and Favre won, I've watched every Sunday since. I would sit down and at least watch the Packers and actually like to watch football. But that was that turning point for me.
My watching history is interesting, I suppose, to a degree, because growing up in proximity to Philly and growing up in an Eagles household and me disliking everything about the Eagles and the fans, a part of me almost feels like I started hate watching things before it got cool to hate watch things. And I remember watching, you know, the Buddy Ryan Eagles, Rich Kotite's brief like run, you know.
How did you feel when Reggie White left and won a Super Bowl with another team?
I left my ass off.
Okay, it was funny to you. Okay, I just want to see. Yeah, exactly.
Because I didn't like the Eagles, so I thought that was great. He was this game wrecker, and he did so great, couldn't get over the hump with the Eagles. And then, like, what, his first year, I think, with the Packers?
Second or third.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to say end because they did go back to back.
They went to four conference championships in a row, three in a row, I think, at least. Like, they won a lot of games.
That sounds right.
They had a great team. I mean, that's back when the Packers beat the 49ers all the time.
True. That's back before the Patriots were really, really good, too.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Back to your fanship.
But, yeah, so it started off as hate watching. So I was kind of just trying to figure out a team to like that hated the Eagles as much as I did that wasn't called the Cowboys, because the Cowboys fucking sucked. Like, their fans were insufferable around here, too. So I'm just like, the Giants suck, the Jets suck, the Cowboys suck, the Eagles suck, the Redskins, which I'm going to use that name because that's who they were at the time because it was the 90s.
We'll allow it.
Just disclosure.
Under pretenses, we'll allow it.
They were Dave? Mostly irrelevant, save for that one Super Bowl year against the Bills. Like, they really didn't do a ton in the 90s. Like, the late 80s, very early 90s were their heyday. Then they fell off like a brick coming off the top of a skyscraper. But then you know, I found the Bucks. And that was such a nice time between Sapp and Brooks and Rondae Barber and Tony Dungy as a coach. And the fact that the Bucks used to come into Philly during the playoffs and they had such a hard kind of rivalry.
Didn't the Bucks lose in the conference championship with Sean King to the Rams the year they won the Super Bowl, like 10-6 or something like that?
I think so. I believe that's correct.
Oh, that's a huge pull. If I got the score right, that's a huge pull. I got to look.
I don't think it's Sean King, though, because I think Sean King came after Brad Johnson. But I think you're right that we lost in the championship game. But, you know, you were also looking at me being kind of young at the time. So, like, I don't exactly remember that. But I do remember that the Bucks were doing pretty good. They lost, and I think it was the conference championship to the Rams. And then they rolled around the next year, fucking closed down the Vet, sent the Eagles fans home crying. And then they opened up the Link with a win. So we closed down their old stadium with a win, and we open up their new stadium with a win. The Bucks just dominated the Eagles, and that's when they had me solidified as a fan.
I had one thing wrong.
It wasn't Sean King, probably.
The score was 11-6. It was Sean King.
Oh, it was Sean King?
It was Sean King. And he had a really good run coming into that, and then he threw two picks against a good St. Louis team. But to hold St. Louis to 11 points that year, that was the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I can understand why you'd be a fan. Allstott, right?
Of course. Lynch on the front free safety.
Oh, yeah.
Even, Derek Rondae Brooks, and Rondae Brian Barber. Kelly on cornerback as well.
Hardy Nickerson, Donnie Abraham, Brad Culpepper. You guys are talented.
McFarland.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a damn good team. It was a damn good stretch.
And your loyalty paid off a couple years ago, did it not?
I mean, it paid off then for when I kind of turned into finding my team. And then, yeah, you have no clue how much I had to talk to people that, like, no, I liked this team before Brady showed up. Stop it. Like, just because you just realized they were a football team doesn't mean I didn't know they were. Like, shut the fuck up.
So I wanted to give these backstories on who we are because I want to ask this question. And I'll tell you my answer first is, how forward are you looking to this game being a fan of the actual product? Because I think this is an amazing matchup. I can't see this not being a really good game. I just can't. And I'm not rooting for either team. I'm not going to bet on anything. I'm going to give you my pick here, but I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I just don't want this to be a bad game. What do you think?
I agree. That's probably the only thing I could say I dislike about the last Buccaneers Super Bowl, is it was such a one-sided mollywop that it felt weird. And yeah, I know the Chiefs were dinged up. I know Mahomes had like a bum ankle going into it, but he still wanted to play, and they played injured basically, and they looked like it. But even if the game isn't great, the storylines going into it for both teams are. Because you've got the Chiefs, who people were writing them off all year, you know, that their offense looked bad. Mahomes didn't quite look right because he had his, like, worst touchdown interception ratio of his career. And, you know, he had to finally play playoff games on the road. Oh, my God. Like, you know, a normal person. And, you know, people thought he was going to choke there. Then you got Purdy trying to show everybody that he's not a game manager. He may be the last pick, but he's not irrelevant. And these two teams meet in the Super Bowl with two very different but very intriguing storylines. And we're still a wrestling website, too, so storylines matter. And it doesn't get much better than this, because which team is really the underdog?
I mean, I don't know how many times there's been a pick 'em in the Super Bowl, but there's been a lot of big spreads. I can remember that for sure. And spreads close, and spreads right around 7, you know. Yep. 5.5 to 8.5. I don't remember a lot of spreads being 1. And that's what it is right now as we talk about it. San Francisco's favored by 1. The over-under is 47.5 points. Ray Cash is taking the Chiefs plus 1 point, and he's taking the under. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I mean, I'll echo that sentiment because, like I said in the very beginning, I have to pick the Chiefs to win if I want my prognostication to be 100%. And under 47.5 sounds correct.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I think maybe 24-20 type thing.
San Francisco has not played a complete football game in the playoffs this season.
Correct.
San Francisco has won a lot of games not playing a complete football game throughout the regular season.
Agreed.
San Francisco decides to take a quarter off or even a half a quarter off at the wrong time, they're going to find themselves on the wrong end of this game. And unfortunately, I haven't seen anything that proves to me that they're not going to play an incomplete game. In addition, what do I always say when I'm picking things? The coach, and in football, the quarterback, right?
Yep.
I can't go against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes against Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Do I think Brock Purdy is really good and has a really bright future? Yes. Do I think Kyle Shanahan, despite what Platt's opinion of him is, do I think he's one of the best play callers in the NFL? 100%. And I think those two together will win a Super Bowl in the next 3 to 4 years. This ain't that year. I'm taking the Chiefs, and I'm taking the over because I think San Francisco continues to play an incomplete game, and we're going to see a stretch where Kansas City outscores them 17-3, 21-6, or something like that in the middle of the game. I think both teams each get some points on the board early. I think you see points before halftime, and in the second half, I think you see Kansas City just stay right ahead. I would be willing to, if I was looking for a prop bet, I'd find the odds on Kansas City winning by double digits.
Interesting. Because you just brought up an interesting tidbit. Because now I'd have to Google it, but I'm pretty sure it was the year that the Chiefs won their first Mahomes Super Bowl against the Niners. But the Chiefs played football the same exact way that entire season.
Well, they were down.
Season,
they were down like 10.
That was
with
24-0 game against the Texans, right?
Yeah.
That was that year?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were down by 10 late in the game, and they just scored the next 14 points or even more. In the third quarter, Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
There's an irony, though, about what you just said about how because the Niners aren't playing a complete game, you think the Chiefs are going to win. And that whole narrative was flipped for the same two teams just, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what's stopping it from being a 17-6 game in the first half, and then the Chiefs just don't score any more points, and then the Niners rattle off a second half that wins them the game?
Like I said, I'll put it to you this way. If the Niners show up, they play a complete game, they win by double digits. If they don't, And that's it, they either going to play a complete game or they're not. If they don't, Kansas City, this game's going over, and I think Kansas City wins by double digits. If you want something fun to bet on, though, and a really cool stat, and you think the Niners are going to win, take Deebo Samuel to score an anytime touchdown. You're plus 160. Niners are 8-0 when Deebo Samuel scores a touchdown.
That's pretty good.
I told you I came prepared today.
You did. Look at you with the numbers and everything.
Oh, yeah. The unpreparedness is at the bottom of this glass of whiskey, though, so hold on.
Oh, boy. Well, just fill it back up so you never get to the bottom.
I like the cut of your jib, young man.
There you go. Think smarter, not harder. That's how it works.
I wish the white in your hat was pink, and then you would look like a watermelon.
You're right. I would.
You throw a red shirt and hot water in the washing machine with that thing. We got a watermelon head.
Sure. Let me just ruin the whole thing to make
it pink.
You're not
going to do it. Well, then
the green's going to have a pink highlight to it, too.
But then it'd be cool, though. You could, like, an inch above the bottom line, you could cut circles in, and you could pull it over your eyes. You could say, I am watermelon head.
Who was that from Fat Albert? Was that Mushmouth?
Oh, with the thing over the eyes? Didn't Stephon Diggs come in dressed as him this season one time?
Shit, what was that this season?
Yeah, with over his eyes and everything, I think. Yeah. Dude, that was pretty sweet, man. That's a hell of a tribute. Anyway. Yeah, so that's what we got. We all are on Kansas City to win this game. Ray and Andrew like the under. I like the over. I think I'll be entertained. I'm looking forward to a good game. This is this could be Patrick Mahomes' third Super Bowl, Andrew. If he wants to catch Brady, he needs to win this one, does he not?
What kind of sentence is that? Well, Brady played for 23 years and won 7.
Right. So
Mahomes has been around for 7 years, and he's won 3 almost. If he
I
wins
said if
this
he
one.
Wants to catch Brady, he needs to win this one, is what I'm saying.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's a third of the way through Brady's career right now. If you know, we just do the whole multiplication thing.
So yeah, 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. Close.
But then if it's 3, then it's 9.
Could
so
be the difference
more.
Between 6, 7, or 8.
It could be. It could be. But what stops him from winning 3 in 7 years?
Well,
going to back half, just like Brady did.
Eli Manning retired, so should be okay.
Well, Burrow might end up being Mahomes' Manning in a way. So.
Did you hear the Eli Manning bar from the I don't know if it was from the Pro Bowl weekend
was
or not.
Was it Pro Bowl? I saw something saw about, you know, yeah. Brady he being said, the GOAT, and he's like, I beat him twice now.
Yeah, he's like, my name's Eli Manning, and I'm nice. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Psych, I beat him twice.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And everybody goes nuts.
It's so corny, but it's funny because it's Eli.
It is. It is. You owe me some oats. That's the commercial with his dad. Anyway,
sure.
I watch too much TV.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you? One last thing about the Super Bowl. Did you hear about this? So, I don't know if it's DoorDash or Uber Eats, but if you order for the Super Bowl and sign up for this thing, and you get entered in this drawing for the Super Bowl where you win a supply, you win the things on the commercials in the Super Bowl.
You win all of the commercials?
Not all like of them. They have the list
Cheez-Its
of stuff. So
or
I heard
Oreos
it this,
or Keebler's
like,
or whatever.
I heard it this morning. It was like M&M's and wings from Popeyes, and it was a bunch of food stuff, and then it was 3 cars. Kia, I forget the other company, and then Mercedes-Benz. So like I was like, okay, now you got people interested. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty cool.
Sure.
That's a really
unless
good...
you win the diamonds that M&M's commercials have been talking about for the runners-up.
Oh,
up,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. We want diamonds.
Marino didn't say much, but that was fantastic. Or he's just like, we want diamonds. It's like, oh.
Underrated acting career, Dan Marino.
Underrated, really?
I just told her, better than Brett Favre is Something About Mary.
It's close. It's arguable.
We're stretching it here.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, folks. Enjoy the Super Bowl Sunday. I might call you. Might have to do a dial a shot. I'm going to be by DP's. I don't know if you're going to be partying, but might have to do a phone shot. Get your brother on the
we'll
line.
That'd right. be cool.
Sounds good. All right, folks. Enjoy your party. Be safe no matter what you do. Being one of the co-creators of the DWI podcast, it'd be irresponsible of me to not tell you don't drink and drive, drink and podcast. Me and my buddies, we get together and rotate houses and host the place is a place to crash. If you can't do that, take an Uber or just fucking walk. Don't drink and drive. It's going to cost you and it might cost somebody else as well. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into a really fun topic that we're both excited to talk about. What are our expectations for these 8 new coaches heading into next season? ChairShot NFL Super Bowl Preview Edition right here on ChairShot Radio Network.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, before we run down the gambit here, 8 new head coaches. And I believe the highest number of minority coaches will be in place for next season. I forget where that number is. I think it's like 9 or something like that. But that's a great step in the right direction for the NFL, and it just shows that, you know, you're not doing yourself a favor unless you make sure you check underneath all the stones. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I'm just trying to put a way of, you know, if you discriminate against different colored stones and don't check them out, you're not doing yourself a favor, right? And that's what the Rooney Rule is for. But it's good to see progress in that light, in my opinion.
As long as it's progress and it's not just a fluke or them trying to like flip the narrative from last year, because it was the exact opposite last year. And then, you know, it could be a quick course correction.
I don't think it is, because I see a lot of talented people in these positions, in my opinion. Let's run down the list. We'll start on the AFC side. We'll start with returning interim head coach Antonio Pierce.
That's got to be the right call right there.
I would say so. I mean, the team lobbied for him. Despite the one really bad loss that they had, they were very much more competitive team after McDaniels left, who was really seemed like a cancer to that team. Pierce's coaching history is he was linebackers coach at Arizona State, I believe, before ending up in Las Vegas as linebackers coach. Obviously, he was an excellent linebacker, Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I say the Raiders get better, but I don't know that I see them winning 9 games or more next year. Who's their quarterback next year?
AOC, right? Ocasio-Cortez.
You talk about the Raiders. I'm going to just grab a drink. I'm listening.
Well, Aiden O'Connell is who I meant, right? Because I guess they're going to have to give him a shot.
Man.
They're going to have to give him a shot because of what he did this year and how well he performed towards the end, even if it was a low bar they set. But, I mean, really comes down to it, it's what the offensive coordinator does. And they have a new offensive coordinator, too, now. So I don't really know how I feel about him, because it's not Kingsbury, because Kingsbury decided to just, you know, leave and not sign with them and then – you know, run over to Washington, which makes no sense you believe the Caleb Williams conversation. Yeah.
I hear you. Go ahead. No, keep going.
No, because I was just going to say that that's the only thing that makes Washington more attractive than Vegas. And I don't know what to think about that team.
It's interesting you say that, because Chicago was trying to get, yes, thank you. Why the fuck his name escaped me there? And it was because Williams didn't want to go to Chicago, so Chicago thought they could go. So that's interesting. If you connect the dots there, that means whoever Kingsbury ends up with, Washington should be trading with Chicago then. And I've said this before, I think Chicago should keep Justin Fields and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Put those guys on each side of Fields, Moore, DJ Moore, and Marvin Harrison Jr., you're going to get better.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the way they have to go, because they need to give Fields some weapons. But how do you feel about Getsy with the Raiders? Because Getsy was an assistant coach for the Packers, if I remember correctly.
I see the quarterback position as the biggest worry there. I think they got capable coaching. They're not going to win.
What kind of offense do you think he's going to interject? You think it's going to be a LaFleur light? You think it's his own thing? Like,
I think it's
whatever. You have more experience with him as a coach than I do, because he was a quarterback's coach and a game coordinator for the Packers for a couple years.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean he won't bring his own spin to it, too. You know, that necessarily mean that he doesn't run more... Less pre-snap motion. I mean, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these coaches sandbag a lot of shit, you know? They try to get away with as little of the playbook as possible until the end of the season, and then the last 30% of the playbook is saved in case you make the fucking playoffs. You know what I'm saying? It looks that way sometimes, especially on the goddamn defensive side. But I would say that, he's going to have to, more so, less of what he wants to do, he's going to have to adapt to the very minimal quarterback talent he's going to have next year unless they make a move. Unless they're drafting somebody, what did they end up win-wise? Where are they?
Good question. Let's just look up
this
the
is
NFL
the only
draft
thing I
order.
I got the standings, actually.
I mean, because they're going to be somewhere middle of the pack-ish because they had 6 or 7 wins.
They had 8 wins last year. Okay, wow.
They had 8? When the fuck did they get to 8?
They had 8 wins.
Yeah, they were 8
year.
And 9. Holy hell.
Holy fuck.
So they picked 13th
with
3
of 4. Yeah.
Huh. That's not a bad pick.
Honestly, if you're the Raiders, why don't you go out and sign Kirk Cousins? He'll be ready halfway through the season.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that concept.
All right, let's keep rolling on because this is only 1 of 7. Jim Harbaugh in L.A. Sorry, I can't help myself.
We don't need to say anything about that one. I don't think we do.
But
he turned around the Niners with not a lot of quarterback talent. He turned around Michigan. They won the national title this year with a game manager quarterback. Like, the running back was the main reason why they did anything this fucking year. So, give him Josh Herbert? Like, kind of writes itself, doesn't it?
Justin Herbert, yes.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, no, I got you back, Jack. This next year, though, not above 500. They have a lot of holes on that team. They have a lot of cap issues. I think they're going to have a year where they just kind of, I just don't think they'll be talented enough to be about 500 next year. You got to think about the fact that they got 2 losses built in, basically. The Chiefs are going to beat them twice, I think. And
the Broncos beat the Chiefs this year. Let's not say it's built in.
I'm calling it built in. And anytime they have to go, they play on one of the coasts. Anytime you have to go across the coast and play, you are at a big time disadvantage, and that's a fact statistically. So I just, especially if you're not a team that is already at a winning pedigree, I get it. Oh, trust me, I would say the odds are really good that Jim Harbaugh ends up winning a Super Bowl with Justin Herbert in LA with this team. But next year, I don't even see them making the playoffs.
All right, let me see if this changes your opinion anymore, because I looked up who their 2024 opponents are supposed to be. So home opponents, obviously, you know, it's going to be the people in their division. I'm not even going to mention that. But then Ravens and Bengals, those are probably losses unless there's injuries or something crazy. But they also get the Saints, Bucks, and Titans. Those are 3 winnable games for the Chargers. And I'm a Bucks fan, and I call it winnable. And you know the Broncos games are going to be winnable, and the Raiders games are winnable. So that's 5 winnable games.
So you got them. You got them 5-12 next year.
Stop it. We're not even on the road yet.
Exactly. Them roads are all coin tosses, and so are divisional games.
Okay. So on the road, they got the Browns, the Steelers, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Patriots, and the Cardinals. Most of those games are winnable. The only one they're slated to lose by most people are the Chiefs. So that's, what, 7 wins right there, potentially? And 7 winnable games and 5 winnable games at home. So they have 12 games they could easily win. This team could be 10-7 without trying too hard.
I think they win 75% of your winnable games and have a 8-9 record.
I mean, we're not too far off. You say 8-9, I say 10-7.
I know. You say, are they gonna make the playoffs next year?
Yeah, they'll be a 6 or 7 seed.
All right, okay, all right. Raiders.
You can note that down somewhere.
Raiders. Okay, here, playoffs, yes or no? We'll go playoffs, yes or no?
Are a yes playoffs. They're going to be a wild card team, but they're a yes playoff team.
Okay, I'll just put an A by it. If you think they're going to the playoffs, I'll put an A by it. Otherwise, if I do, I'll put a T by it. So there's no T's yet. There's only an A by the Chargers. So Vegas, no. We both agree, Vegas, no playoffs next year.
Yeah, not really. No, okay. Like, I don't trust any of that enough.
Okay, this is good. I like that we're gonna write this down. You know, you're high on the predictions because you got a whole year long motherfucker come through for you. Congratulations again, you fucking secret handshaking asshole.
Hey, it's not my fault that me and Mahomes and Taylor Swift we got a little like Illuminati thing going on. It's
and
fine. Don't worry.
I would like to send my apologies out to Taylor Swift, who I had booked on the show, and Andrew requested no surprise appearances.
I nixed it.
So I don't know what that is. The Swifties will be swiftly at your door.
Travis can complain about it on New Heights next week. That's all.
Boy.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. New England Patriots. Talk about another team with talent issues. Gerard Mayo.
That's putting it nicely.
Gerard Mayo takes over, and I think it's a great hire. They hired from within. It's a guy with NFL experience as well, like we talked about with Antonio Pierce and Jim Harbaugh, by the way. We didn't even mention it there, but Jim Harbaugh's coaching reputation precedes himself. I think Mayo's going to be successful. I'm going to not put my name next to a playoff appearance for this one either.
Me neither.
Yeah. They have some ways to go, but I think he's going to continue the defensive tradition there, and they're going to be better off with the general manager buying the groceries than they were with Bill Belichick, and it's no surprise he's not coaching anywhere. And I heard Atlanta offered him the job, but he wouldn't want to give up enough power for it.
Maybe. Patriots are rebuilding this coming year. I think we're all in a similar boat, unless they're the ones that win the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes and they can maybe put something together and Ezekiel Elliott stays and has some kind of bit of a renaissance and goes back to how he was a couple years back when he could actually still run, which I doubt it. But, you know, magical Christmas land. The way the Patriots could actually be decent is if these things just fall in line and they get like a decent free agent receiver, like in the just fall to them. But yeah, it's probably a rebuild year. They need too much help.
Tennessee Titans get Brian Callahan. Their owner is kind of out there for me. I think Brian.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah, I think Brian Callahan is a really good hire, though. A little bit of his history. He's a graduate assistant from UCLA, was coaching assistant with the Broncos in 2010, worked his way up to offensive quality control, offensive assistant, went to Detroit, was the quarterback's coach there for a couple years, went to Oakland, was the quarterback's coach, and then he ended up in Cincinnati. And he's been the offensive coordinator there for the last four seasons, and they've been one of the best offenses for the last four seasons. I think it's a great hire for a team that needs a new offensive identity.
Yeah, I'm not that high on them, though.
I'm not that high on them either. I think the coaching hire is great.
Oh, I don't. I disagree on the pretense of Burrow had to fix that offense so much. They had no O-line for like three of the last four years.
And that's not...
He was running around dead. He got hurt twice, you know.
But when
and
he
then
had
the
him
year
going,
they went to the
when
Super Bowl, they got exposed by an offensive line that sucks.
We'll see. I'm interested to see what they do with Derrick Henry. I think they should trade him and just start clean. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, Malik Willis or Levis.
Levis. Levis did decent enough this year with nothing around him.
Yeah.
There's nothing on that team that could have helped him out. And, like, he won a couple games he wasn't supposed to win, especially that Dolphins game that made us all kind of stop and go, oh, the Dolphins really do suck this year. Okay.
Fair enough. am I writing initials down here next to the Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs next year? I feel
no,
like
they're
I'm not.
Top five pick next year. Fuck the Titans.
Okay, there you go. They're looking for a quarterback.
Like I said, I'm higher on Levis than I think a couple other people, but like their team is not good, and I don't trust Callahan.
Jury remains out for Andrew on Callahan. Jury remains out on Levis for Tony. Fair.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Let's slide over to the NFC side. If you hadn't noticed, sure. I went through the... It's interesting, 4-4 as well.
So far.
Well, what do you mean? You think McCarthy gets fired if they start 1-4 and Belichick comes in there?
No. Like, so what we were talking about pre-show that I told you, I was talking to AJ about and a couple other friends of mine that follow football... My take that I said I saw the CBS article on, like right after I said it, was it would be hilarious if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, Andy Reid retires. On top, and then Belichick swoops in with the Chiefs. Just become the ultimate fucking villain and go from the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs dynasty, get another ring, get enough wins to be the most winning coach, and, you know, go out on top. Like the true evil motherfucker that he is.
What about Eric Bieniemy?
I don't know what the deal with him is. And I mean that in the nicest way.
I'll tell you what the deal is.
I don't know why people haven't given him a job.
Yeah.
He's got so many great aspects on his resume. And I don't know if his interview was just bad or what it is that people don't like. But he can't fucking find a fucking offensive coordinator job. Can't find a head coach job. Like, what the fuck?
Well, it might be a reason. He might know. They might know. He might know already that Reed's going to retire. He might be the replacement because he did come and talk to the team before they left for the Super Bowl, from what I heard.
That's also because Nagy sucks.
Well, Nagy's proved the time and time again that he's a coordinator, not a coach. I.e.
And he's not even a good coordinator.
See example of Chicago Bears.
So what if it's Belichick comes in to be the new head coach, Bieniemy comes in as the offensive coordinator, and they set something in
2 years,
you know,
Belichick retires after 2 years because he's going to win. He's going to get the record.
Yep.
All right. Well, when that happens, if it happens, we have to have an emergency podcast, by the way.
Okay, yeah. We'll call it an emergency meeting. Like it's fucking Among Us. Yes.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. Let's stick with what we got, though, right now. And
fine.
Raheem Morris, after, I think it's like 12, 13 years, the head coach in the NFL again. You should know him well. He was the coach for three years in Tampa.
He sucked in Tampa.
3 wins in his first year. 10-6 his second year, didn't make the playoffs, though. And then 4-12 his last year and out the door. Been a really good coordinator, though, for the Rams. I like this hire as well. I think he's going to do some good things down there in Atlanta. He's going to turn around. But that's another team that needs a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I don't see them making the playoffs without a different quarterback because Desmond Ridder is not the guy.
Oh, he's not at all. And did they keep their offensive coordinator from this year, or did they hire a new one? Or are they still in?
I was not that prepared.
Ah, fair enough. Let's see. Zach Robinson is there. Oh, appoints Zach Robinson. Apparently. Okay. So assembling his staff, Zach Robinson is the offensive coordinator. Who the fuck is Zach Robinson? Because Raheem Morris is a defensive-minded coach.
I know who Zach
Morris
is.
So they need a really good offensive coach to even make that offense run. And I don't know enough about this Zach Robinson guy to care. Or to let's Google real quick.
I got him.
Let's use the Google machine.
I got it.
The Seahawks?
It's like quarterback at Oklahoma State. Was drafted by the Patriots, later played with the Seahawks. He became a coach in 2019, serving as assistant coach for the Los Angeles Rams. So he brought him with him over from L.A. So he's Sean McVay
guy.
So
he did nothing except work under McVay for a while. He was a quarterback that did nothing in the pros. Okay. He's like Charlie Whitehurst, but worse. Okay, nice.
Well, don't you. I don't have them making the playoffs, do you?
No, because you need a quarterback, and when you have a fucking coordinator that's not even a good quarterback, like, that's not really going to help to propagate quarterback talent.
I completely agree. All right, let's keep it rolling here. Carolina Panthers, Dave Canellis.
Another former Buck coach that decided to just leave, and he went to the enemy. Like, I have to hate him a little bit on this one. Like, good on the man for getting paid and getting a head coach job and helping his resume. But what the fuck? Like, we just had such a good year. Baker liked him. He liked Baker. They were like a happy family. And now he fucking goes to the fucking Panthers. Like, I don't even know what to feel about that.
I get the hire by
angry.
I get the hire by the Panthers, though, because he's been under Pete Carroll and on his staff all the way back to USC. So he knows what it's like to work with a mobile quarterback, like a Russell Wilson, kind of what we got going on with Bryce Young. So hopefully they can bring a change in that offense because last year was just ass horrible for them. The owner should not show up to any more games. He should not talk in public about the team anymore, or he should sell the team because David Tepper is a fucking piece of shit, dumbass motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Throwing a drink on a fan at a game. Who cares what the fan said to you? You're the fucking owner. Are you kidding me? This guy
he's
is fucking delusional.
Covered up, though.
Right, and he thinks he's so good at everything else in life that he can come in and fucking run a football team the way he wants to, and it doesn't work that way, dude.
As we know from the other entertainment aspect that we cover on this website, there's a lot of people that feel the same way, or there's companies that feel the same way as soon as something gets a little bit of traction. So I'm not surprised. Tepper is an idiot, and that's probably the biggest concern I have for Canales. If I take the betrayal kind of aspect away from it that I feel, I feel like he's set himself up for failure, because Tepper is a shit owner. Bryce Young is not a good quarterback. Well, unless somehow he finds a way to like fuse in the old Russell Wilson and some aspects of like Sean Payton's Drew Brees kind of offense, so he can make him roll out and fucking never be behind everybody that's 8 feet tall because he's 5 foot nothing.
It's got to be a lot of play action and waggle RPOs behind the line of scrimmage.
But they don't have
like
a team.
I understand.
The line is going to crumble unless they redo the offensive line. He's not going to have the time for an RPO, a sprint out, a waggle, or any kind of like bootleg, because kid's going to die.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I'm not even going to ask. I don't assume either of us see that.
I'm totally making the playoffs. I'm just joke.
Hey guys. All right, Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator from the Ravens, heads west, is the new football coach in Seattle. I think out of all the teams that have a new head coach, he inherits the most ready to make the playoffs roster, in my opinion, even more than the Chargers, because I think those would be the two teams to argue with about.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your measurement for that metric for the Seahawks? Because the Seahawks did nothing but prove that they know how to choke this year. Like, they lost, what, 6 of their last 7 or, like, 5 of their last 7? Like, they couldn't get the job done when they started off, like, 6-2.
Exactly. So they've shown this team has shown for a period of this a nice portion of the season that they can be a good football team. And maybe head coaching is trending so much younger in the NFL. That's why Pete Carroll's out. That's why Bill Belichick doesn't have a job. I just think the guy can come in and get that defense playing better, because we know the offense can score points. They have talent. Geno Smith is a solid quarterback. They have a really fast and explosive running back in Walker, and you know they have talented receivers. So I think that this out of all the teams is most likely to make the playoffs. I'm not going to pick them to make the playoffs, though.
You picked them to make the Super Bowl this year. You're not going to pick them to make the playoffs, and you think you're playoff ready?
I let you and Ray pick first at the first show, and I went last.
Ready.
And I
come on, you got
to
at least
try to
make
be different. But if you listen to the power rankings all year, you know who I truly would have in the Super Bowl, and they're in there. But I don't want to steal any Andrew's thunder.
You were on that wagon when everybody fell off for a couple weeks. Like, oh my God.
Yep, I was still like, they're the most talented team in the league. They'll be there in the end. So, here's McDonald's pedigree: assistant at Georgia, and then he's been with the Ravens. He studied under John Harbaugh since 2014. The guy worked his way up. He was a graduate assistant at Georgia, a defensive quality control assistant for 3 years. Started in Baltimore as a coaching intern, to defensive assistant, to backs coach, to D-backs coach, to linebacker coach. He went with Harbaugh to Michigan and was the defensive coordinator there for a year. So he's coached under both Jim and John.
Came back. Went from one Harbaugh to the next. I get you. Okay.
And he came back to be defensive coordinator. And now he's going to get his own job. So I believe in this guy more than any of the other coaching hires except for Jim Harbaugh. I think he's going to do a good job in Seattle. I think he's going to bring back that defensive presence that Seattle used to have.
If he can bring back the Legion of Boom, that would be nice. Like, you know, that mentality. Obviously, he's not going to get rich like Richard Sherman and right. fucking Earl and all them out of fucking retirement. But you know what I mean.
But
they still got Geno. And if anything, Geno proved this year that he can't win the team a game. He can keep them in a game, but he can't win them a game.
Yeah, well, he's right on that midline of being a top half of the league and not a top half of the league quarterback.
Sure.
All right, last new.
But he's still better than Cam Newton because at least he signed.
I can't argue with that. The Washington Commanders, new owner, new head coach, and hopefully a new start for that fan base, which is a really great fan base over the years. Despite your hatred of the NFC East, Dan Quinn gets a head coaching job after the debacle in Dallas, the playoffs.
After every debacle he's attached to. Do you remember the Super Bowl? He was the head coach.
28-3.
You remember the Packers blowing the doors off this great defense? He was the defensive coordinator.
It was 48 points.
But it's fucking Dan Quinn, what the fuck? This is Ron Rivera 2.0.
He's
not going to do shit.
I would have hired Vrabel over him.
There are so many other people I would have hired over him.
But weren't they lined up to get the Detroit offensive coordinator and he said, I'm staying in Detroit?
Something like that, yeah. Either the defense coordinator or the offense coordinator. I forget which one, but both coordinators decided to stay in Detroit.
Offensive coordinator, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then they decided to go defensive. I think Dan Quinn can get them to a better place defensively, but who's their offensive coordinator?
With who?
They
sold the fucking farm last year.
Did.
They don't have Sweat.
They don't
have Chase.
Well, they got to go out. General manager's got to go out and make some things happen.
Who's he going to blow to actually make that team decent?
I'm saying over the next couple, 3 years. I'm not picking any of these teams to make the playoffs. And you got the Chargers. That's it, I think.
I'm not picking the Commanders to have a positive record until 2030.
All right, that's a long ways away. All right, folks, I hope you've enjoyed our expectations of the new 8 NFL head coaches next year. Anything you want to get in last thought here before we take a break and come back with another fun topic?
Just wait till it's 9 and then Bill Belichick goes to the evil empire, you know, goes full Darth Sidious, and it's going to be fucking fantastic.
All right. And if that doesn't happen, we'll see if he's looming large over every poor start by a head coach next year in the NFL. I think that's a better storyline for us when we restart Chair Shot NFL next year. We'll start week 0. What week will Bill Belichick be hired by a team who started 1-something?
True.
All right, folks, like we said, you can follow us at Chairshot NFL. You're listening to our Super Bowl preview right here on Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code Chairshot. Head to AngryLemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code Chairshot to save 10%. That's AngryLemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
ChairShot NFL right here, ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com. PC Tunney, Andrew Belaz reminding you to always head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com for all of your t-shirt needs. And don't forget to check out the ChairShot side. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Plenty of great t-shirts. People will just flock to you and your awesomeness while you're wearing a Chair Shot t-shirt.
Yeah. You become Raven? You're going to have a flock if you have our t-shirt on?
Hashtag end Roman's reign. Coming soon to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
I don't mind that one.
I know. That's a PC Tony original. Hey, Greg, move your ass. That shirt should be up already. He won't listen to the show. And if he does, he'll message me like, I'm working on it.
You should have just stopped that at he won't listen because he's Greg.
No, he listens. I
don't mean to the show. I just mean to what you say. He won't listen. Stop,
no.
Period. Hard
well,
stop.
He makes it seem like it if he's not. So good on him. That's all I really need. I just need to make it seem like I'm heard. We do whatever you want after that.
It's a bag of gimmicks. Bag of gimmicks, man. Let's go.
I got a bag of gimmicks you can suck on. All right, top 10 quarterbacks for next year. We told you what our preface to this was, and number one, we can skip right away. We know what number one is going to be. Do you want to start from 10 and work our way up? Do you want to start from the top and work our way down? What do you want to do?
You know, let's start from 10. I like when we start from 10 and kind of see if the top five changes much.
Okay. At number 10 for next year, my top 10 quarterback is Jared Goff.
Well, I'll spoil my 9 because I have him at 9.
Okay. Okay.
But my 10 is Justin Herbert. Because, you know, him and the Chargers are going to do some fucking work with Harbaugh.
All right. All right. Number 9.
So he's your 9 then.
Jalen Hurts.
Really? You've got GameManager.com as your fucking number 9 guy?
Did you see the last 40% of the season there?
Did you see him ever win a game for the team?
You asked me why I have him that high.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Did you
He's not the, even in my top 10.
Did you see the first 60% of the season? He was an MVP candidate last year. Like, he's just hurt.
Not on this show, because I was dogging on the Eagles every week, if you remember how they
should I know. Went. I'm just saying. I think he was hurt. I think he deserves to be in the top 10
That's
next
his
year.
Last name. He can't say that.
Okay. Well, this is my list, damn it.
Just because Jalen's hurt and he put the S in a different spot doesn't change the fact that that's his name and it's not an excuse.
What's your 9, motherfucker?
I said Jared Goff.
Remember? Oh, Goff. That's right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I forgot. Not that I called you motherfucker.
Oh, of course not. No,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. Who you got
so
at 8?
I'm not going to go by his given name for number 8 because that's a Ray classic. But I'm going to say Dak Prescott is my 8.
Oh, no. I got Dak Prescott not in my top 10.
Ooh.
I got
you went down to 20. Where'd you put him?
14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's good. I mean, it's a really low rating considering. But I don't necessarily know. There's 13 quarterbacks I would want ahead of him next year.
He puts up numbers.
Yeah,
so.
He just doesn't. Okay. Anyway, it's probably.
I can't blame him for the fact that the defense gave up 48 fucking points. Well, does he play defense?
Threw two picks. Pick six kind of ended
but
the game.
But does he play defense?
Maybe he should have.
Yeah, I agree. He should be strong safety and quarterback.
Matt Stafford at eight. Great comeback here. You can see when he's healthy, he's one of the best arms and best minds behind their behind
just
offensive
inconsistently
line.
Inconsistently healthy. That's the like right. I have him at 11 because he's too injury prone.
Sure. What do you got?
Oh well, that Dak was my 8.
Oh, that's
so
right.
We're on 7 now.
7 to me, Justin Herbert. I got Herbert at 7. He's still one
Ooh,
of.
You actually went higher than I did.
Well,
okay.
I think Herbert is easily one of the 7 most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you're trying to pick someone you want on your team, regardless of what your team is or not, you want the most. The next 7 guys to me are the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. I think from 8 down to about 14, you could probably mix and match them however you want. But I think Herbert is in that top 7 echelon.
See, Herbert is on that border for me, which is why I just said 10, because he hasn't won anything himself. People always make excuses. Oh, it's the team. Oh, he doesn't have a running game. He doesn't really have a number one receiver. This person's hurt. That person's hurt. If you're that guy, you don't make excuses. Like, so I don't think our top 6 is going to be too different. And those guys have injuries, have defenses that go to shit, have no receivers sometimes, have no running game, and they still find ways to win games.
Herbert hasn't
done that yet.
Herbert finally has a top-tier coach in the NFL, though.
Oh, yeah, that's why I have him at 10.
That's why
just
I got
because
him.
Because I want to see him have that year so yeah. I can push him higher.
All right.
But my 7 mm-hmm. is Captain Kirk.
I moved him way down because of he's not available because he's not going to be available for the start of the season. He's probably not going to be able
but
to play.
Always a good quarterback. His numbers are awesome. He's always right there
okay,
in that conversation.
If he was healthy and just a free agent, I would definitely have him 8 or higher.
Sure.
Okay. But I'm factoring in the fact that he's not going to be able to play the beginning of the season, and he's going to be coming off an injury when he does begin to play. So I have him I have it at 17.
We assume.
I have him at 17.
And that's where I'm going to leave the assumption because Rodgers had a similar injury. Well, and he was good enough to play within 3.5 months.
Rodgers got. Was he though? That's just a Rodgers thing.
You noticed exactly how I worded that, right?
I got you.
I worded Rodgers very, very deliberately.
Rodgers got hurt a significant amount of time before, at least a month before Cousins did.
It's a month before, but either way. So if we look at 4 months from October, that's still going to be February, March.
That's where I got.
So he could be good enough to go by training camp.
Raises my suspicions to make him the best of the second half of the quarterbacks in the league. And like I said,
I'm not going to use that against Cousins because Cousins is still a great
conversation. I will.
Quarterback.
I agree. I said he'd be top eight if he was healthy.
I get your metric. Your metric makes sense, but I can't overlook the fact that Cousins has had great years for his entire career and people just overlook him because he's just not flashy. He looks like the BYU Mormon fucking, you know, poster boy. And that's not fun to anybody. So
I think we completely agree about Kirk Cousins and we're just basing our rating off of different factors.
I get that. And I'm not really arguing with you when you've explained your rating, but I feel like Cousins will probably be fine to go by the beginning of the year. It's the difference of if a team wants to roll the dice on that.
Six in my first here.
Sure.
CJ Stroud. I'm not going to put him in the top five. It's 1 year. I don't expect him to get worse. I expect him to continue to get better, especially with a rock of a coach that they have in D'Amico Ryans, who seems like he's going to just be very good for a long time, especially since he has CJ Stroud. The guy can make all the throws. It seems like he's able to do a good job at reading different defenses. They do have receiving talent down there. I easily the top six in the NFL for me next year.
I agree, but I have him at five. Because much like you said, he's not going to go down, so he can only go up.
Who do you have at six? I think I know who you have at six.
Josh Allen.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Oh, then you even... then
because Josh Allen is a Jekyll and Hyde kind of quarterback. You know, for as many times as he'll put the team on his back and win because of a 50-yard run or like a giant bomb, he'll fucking blow the game because he'll throw seven interceptions. You know, I'm being, you know, ridiculous at that. But he throws too many damn picks. He gets sacked, as you see in the playoffs. He does something all the time where the team chokes, he chokes, he misses, somebody misses. I need him to fucking actually prove he's worthy of being in the top five instead of just stat padding.
All right, you're not going to like where I have him. Who you got at five?
Stroud, baby. The Houston right. Strouds. Okay.
I got Burrow at five. Joe Burrow at five.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't even have him in the top 10?
No, I have him four. But I'm surprised you have him below, you know, the two that we've already mentioned. Because you have him below Josh Allen for you, obviously, because you haven't mentioned Allen and I did.
Uh-huh.
So I find that hard to swallow.
But you throw in... So I have Josh Allen at three. Because Josh Allen is multidimensional. Josh Allen doesn't get hurt. Josh Allen needs another weapon on offense. And I think...
How many more weapons does he need?
I think his time's coming. I'll tell you that. Joe Burrow is a little more injury prone, and that's the only reason I might have him down at five. I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks. He's a winner. But that's just where I got him.
I disagree with a lot of that because I think a lot of the reason why Burrow gets hurt is because the team's bad around him. Like there's holes. Like the first season, we just talked about that when you were talking about the coordinator that became a coach. Like the offensive line didn't exist for the first 3 years, basically, and he still took that trash team to fucking the Super Bowl after beating Mahomes. So that has to say something. And, you know, Montana broke his fucking back 1 year, and he was in and out because him and Steve Young played fucking, you know, that wonderful game of just you're in, I'm in. And it didn't change him from being who the fuck he was when he was in.
I broke my back. It's spinal.
Spinal, yeah.
All right, so you had Stroud at 5. Do you want me to go 4?
Yes.
Do we both have the same person at 4?
Well, no, because I have Burrow at 4.
Oh. Then you don't even have my number 4 in the top 10.
Who's your number 4?
Jordan Love.
I do not have him in the top 10. Nope.
Jordan Love has a group of young, talented players that are hungry. He has a really good running back. He has an offensive line that started to click without David Bakhtiari. He has a very good head coach, an elite NFL head coach, and a team that's only going to get better and trying to figure it out on defense because we finally got rid of Joe Barry. Jordan Love, second in the league in passing touchdowns last year, and was like 18 touchdowns, the one interception in the second half of the season. Jordan Love, first playoff game, goes down to Dallas and kicks ass. And if it wasn't for a couple of bad breaks, the Packers could have been in the fucking Super Bowl this year, and you know that's true.
Could have, would have.
Right.
But isn't.
No, I agree. But you can say that, though. You can say that, though, because...
You can make an argument, yes.
Yeah, they had their chances easily against San Francisco. That game could have went either way. There's no reason they couldn't have beat Detroit after that. But I just think the future is really bright up in Green Bay, and I think Jordan Love is talented, and he gets it. And you see him do stuff like Patrick Mahomes does. Off timing, out of rhythm, back foot. He's kind of a baby of Rodgers and Favre because that's Rodgers studied under Favre and picked all that stuff up. Love studied under Rodgers and picked all that stuff up. And just like Mahomes was able to sit for a couple seasons and learn under a couple really good players as well, I think Jordan Love...
Not even
Love...
a full season.
What's that?
Mahomes didn't even sit a full season because he played the last game when Smith was the starter.
Okay,
and then he played
so
his second year.
So basically for off season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you corrected me. I just think Love is going to be a very good quarterback, and I don't think there's going to be a regression next year. So
that's the interesting thing, because the reason I have Stroud in the top 5 and Love is nowhere near my top 10 is because Love is not a rookie quarterback. Stroud looked good all year. There was no drop off. There was no plateau. There was no dip. There was no ebbs and flows. Levy.
He an injury,
looked
though.
Good. Sure. There was an injury, but you can't really hold that against people because they get hurt or whatever, because he came back and he still looked great.
Say it.
So, like, nothing changed after he came back off that injury. Love looked awful for the first half of the year. And this is the comparison I'm going to go with. That second half where he started to put it together and started really figuring it out, and they opened up the offense maybe a little more because he started doing a little more. It reminds me of the Tony Romo concept of Tony Romo came in the back half of that year for, I think, Bledsoe, and looked really good. Everybody thought he was like the second coming of God, and people started figuring him out because there was more tape. There was more understanding of what he does, and he plateaued hard. Romo was never a bad quarterback, but he wasn't fucking, you know, savior of Dallas. So I need Love to play a complete fucking season as being baby Favre, baby Rodgers.
Here's the deal, though. They didn't start poorly. They started 2-1, and your stretch of when he played bad, I'll give you another possibility
he
of why.
The Bears
no,
the
listen,
first week. That
listen,
doesn't count.
Listen, listen. But they won, and listening. Convincingly, they did what they were supposed to do, so you can't blame them for that. We have to play them twice a year. It's not our fault. They
you
suck.
You get to play your schedule.
We chant every fucking year, Bears still suck. So don't blame the Bears' suckitude on us, okay? But here's I'm going
to
give
like,
you, I'm gonna give you something that fits in your parameters that is a different reason.
Shoot.
Aaron Jones is hurt. Before Aaron Jones got hurt, they weren't there, but they were better than the stretch of when Aaron Jones was hurt. When he came back, they were on
it
fire.
It took them a couple games, but you're right. They did take off because Aaron Jones is the main reason why they beat the brakes off the Cowboys. I watched the game. I understand. I get what you're getting at. Their whole team wasn't healthy, so you didn't get to see the whole picture is kind of what you're getting at. But there's been plenty of times where Favre didn't have every piece and he still made things work and look good. Rodgers didn't have every piece. He still made things look good. Not Love the only needs to just put a whole season together.
I agree.
Without having the
sure.
How but, many games in the also... first half of the season did they not show up in the first half of the
but
game?
But here's the thing, though.
You remember the Saints game?
Christian Watson's hurt. They're trying to find a replacement for Bakhtiari, right? These young receivers are still trying to gel with him, but all of a sudden...
Why are they waiting until this year to figure out a replacement for Bakhtiari when he's been in the league for, what, 12, 13 years?
Oh, my God. You know he's old. Don't yell at me. I'm not a buzzer.
You were the one all year saying that the defense has, like, 8 or 9 first-round picks.
They do, and I'm like, what the fuck? Joe Barry's gone. Fuck him.
I get it. So that could also change things, too.
All right. We got to move on. We got
to
keep rolling.
I need to see it. I can't just assume based off of good faith.
All right. Fair enough. This is excellent podcasting. We don't fucking agree, and it's okay.
Good.
It's okay. Good. I still think you should have a watermelon hat. I do.
Fine. Okay. I'll look into that. Look into that.
Can't
so he was
me.
Your number 3, right?
No, 4. 4. 4.
Oh, he was your 4.
Yeah,
you're
4.
All right, so who do you have at 3 then?
Who was your 4?
Burrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we keep coming back cuz I have Josh Allen at 3.
What the fuck?
I believe in Josh Allen's physical tools, his ability to throw the ball.
You don't even have the person I have at 3 in your top 10, then.
No, what do you got, Brock Purdy?
Yeah, how do you not have Brock Purdy in your top 10?
I got him at 11.
He's gone to an NFC Championship game his first year. He's in the Super Bowl this year. What fucking more do you need to be a top 10 quarterback?
I think any of the 10 guys I have ahead of him would do as well, if not better, in his position.
But they're not, and they had the chance to be, and that's my point.
And this is quarterbacks I would like to have going into the season next year.
I'll gladly take Brock Purdy because, you know, all he does is win.
Yeah.
He is that fucking song embodied. If he didn't get hurt against the fucking Eagles last year, they might have made it to the Super Bowl.
We have the same 1 and 2, so we'll finish this conversation. Yeah, you, Jamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes.
Jamar Jackson?
Lamar.
Is that Lamar's brother?
Lamar. We're starting to get to the bottom of this fucking glass of whiskey.
I told you to fill it back up so you don't hit the bottom.
Well, I got to go do it again, damn it. Where's your watermelon hat?
But yeah, so I have Lamar 2 and Mahomes 1, which I think we agree on.
Yeah. Do you want to hear, Purdy's 11. You want to hear the rest of my top 20?
Go for it.
All right, I'm going to go backwards. I got Trevor Lawrence at 20.
That's higher than I would put him after the last year, but go.
I have Justin Fields at 19.
Interesting, okay. Little lower than I would probably put him.
I got Geno at 18.
That's high, but go.
Cousins at 17. We discussed that already.
Yeah, I get you.
Baker at 16.
Depends on what team he's on, so he's not even in my top 20 because I don't know what his future looks like.
If he's with the Buccaneers, that's where I got him. I still think Kyler Murray can be a top half of the league quarterback. We'll see what happens with the change. I got Murray at 15.
I got Carr at 15.
I got Prescott. Oh, you got a top 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Derek Carr did not make my list.
He's consistent, at least. Like,
he'd probably
okay,
be like
is he
21.
Consistently mediocre? Yes, but 15 is mediocre.
I suppose. I got Dak at 14.
Which, we had that argument. I have Rodgers at 14 because I don't trust the Jets. That is the reason why Rodgers is as low as he is on my list.
I got Tua at 13.
Same!
Nice! High five.
We right. finally agree.
When we agree, we don't have to explain ourselves.
Yes.
I got Rodgers at 12. I think if he comes back healthy, the guy is still more than capable to be a top 12 quarterback in the league.
But the Jets is still such a fucking shit show of an organization, especially with the Diana Rossini reports and all the other murmuring. Like, Jets.
I gave a lot of Packer love today. I'm sorry. I got Purdy at 11.
You did.
What do you got, 12 and 11?
12, I have Fields. 11, I have Stafford.
Where'd you have Love? Not even in the top 15?
Nah, he probably would have been 20 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just because, like I said, I don't trust it. Watching this first half of the season, there was a lot of times where they didn't show up in the first half of the game. And they, like, the Saints game is a microcosm of how I feel about Jordan Love the first half of the year. Because they barely beat a mediocre team. Because they didn't show up in the first half. And then they weren't able to do that for like 2 or 3 weeks after that one. So that's more than just not having a running game. And then he took off. Yes, you're right. Aaron Jones came back. Then he took off and he started looking like the hybrid of Rodgers and Favre. I get it. I don't disagree. But I need to see him do that all year and not forget that there's like five or six games in the beginning of the season that are somewhat important when it comes to your record.
I can see your point. I just think that that receiving core has gotten better and better.
I hope you're right. Because so, like we'll I see. Said, you're also the man all year that said they have 8 or 9 first-round picks on defense and they don't play like it.
Okay, that has nothing to do with the quarterback that you want to have next year.
But it does have stuff to do
when
with
you have the team in, I get it. Okay, all
sometimes
right.
It doesn't always work year to year.
All right, folks, that's all we got. That's it. That's another season in the books, right?
More or less, yeah. Okay. As long as the Chiefs win, I need to be right.
Okay. It's funny because you might have gotten some playoff picks right that you shouldn't have just because you wanted to be right about your initial prediction. There were a couple times
yes.
You yeah. were like, hey, I'm going to pick this team because I want to be right. And well, you know what? Damn it. You should just trust your gut, right?
Hey, it worked.
All right, folks, we'll be back next season. Like I said, there'll be some specials along the way. If you want to find us in between then, to continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network, you can follow Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. Andrew, let everybody know what you got going on. I think you might have a big article to put out. You might want to cover something that just happened. I'm not sure if you have the time.
I don't know. Big article is an interesting concept, but you can follow me, IWC War Chief, on the X, Twitter, the Twix. Don't. Yeah, I see that you're trying to get me to write something about.
You
the
want to
whole,
just do a podcast?
The more TNA thing.
Do you want to do an emergency podcast?
We don't need to do an emergency podcast.
Do you
want to
come on
fine.
DWI tomorrow and have a special segment?
No.
Okay.
The show is tomorrow. I couldn't do it anyway. We've had this conversation when it comes to Thursdays. I cover the actual show, so guess what? But yet, I don't know. I think I'm going to let that sit for a couple weeks. Because the taping still happened under DeMore's run, so they're going to look like they look for the next week or two, and we're not probably going to see anything of impact until, pun not intended, until No Surrender or the subsequent tapings. So,
well, I imagine Andrew's feelings will be felt in his coverage of TNA moving forward, so you can always find that
probably.
Right there every week on thechairshot.com. Follow me at PC Tunney. Continue to follow this show at Chairshot NFL. Like I said, Chairshot Radio Network, sports entertainment and sports entertainment. We got you covered on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Another fun season. Lord Football rules the sporting world. And we will definitely see you next year. For Ray Cash, Andrew Berlaz, I'm PC Tunney. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.